I want to just, there was two hymns that came to my mind that was written for thanking the Lord in a tragedy that had taken. One is, It Is Well With My Soul. I think a lot of you probably already know the tragedy that he faced. Spafford, he was a businessman in Chicago. He lost a lot in the fire in Chicago. Then he lost his kids on a ship, drowned, and then he wrote that song, It Is Well With My Soul. And just, that was back in the 1800s, I think around 1870s, 1873. But there's one part, I mean, in the modern version, they eliminated two of the verses at the end. But if you look at the original poem, it had six verses. And one of the final verses speaks of the hope of Christ's return. And while the last verse is a prayer for the Lord to be glorified for his grace. And here's a guy that lost everything, lost his family, and is still able to reach down and write such a beautiful song. And then there was another song written by Martin Rinkhart. He was a German pastor back in the 1600s. So this song was written in 1636. It's called Now Thank We All Our God. I don't know if any of you goes, Now Thank We All Our God with our hearts and hands and voices, whose wonderful, wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices. So this was written almost 200 years before It Was Well With My Soul. Similar, different circumstance. He was born in 1586 in Ellenberg, Saxony, which is now Germany. Ellenberg was a county village with a small walled city. Martin was the son of a poor coppersmith. He wanted to serve the people in the village, so he became a pastor. Then the 30-year-old war struck Germany, and the city was a wall, so a lot of the other villages came in and inside that wall. Well, during that time, a plague struck the people inside. They lost over 5,000 people in this small little village. At times, he was burying over 50 people a day, and he was down to the last pastor in town. He wrote this song with his children. He had lost his wife to the plague, but he wrote that song. So if you have a chance over Thanksgiving, it's called Now Thank We All Our God, and it's a wonderful song for the holidays and to sing and so forth. Took me a while. I kept praying and wondering what I was going to speak on tonight. And, you know, we all know about the pilgrims coming here and settling for religious freedom and so forth. But spiritually, things go way back further than when the pilgrims came to America. We can find things related to Thanksgiving nearly from cover to cover in the Bible. Individuals offered up sacrifices out of gratitude in the book of Genesis. The Israelites sang a song of thanksgiving as they were delivered from Pharaoh's army after crossing the Red Sea. Later, the Mosaic law was set aside three times a year during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or Feast of Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. They sang songs of praise and lifting up the provisions and grace of God. So all throughout the Bible, we've talked about doing it. So in the Bible, thanks is mentioned, thanks or thanksgiving, gratitude is mentioned somewhere between 150 to 190, depending on the version of the Bible that you're using. So it's important that we do. All of our God's gifts, the greatest gift he gave is the gift of his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross in Calvary. He paid all the sin debt for us. And, you know, that's something that this time of the year and really every day we need to concentrate on that. We, like the pilgrims, have a choice. In life, there will always be those things that we can complain about. But there was also much to be thankful for. As our society becomes increasingly secular, the actual giving of thanks to God during our annual Thanksgiving holiday is being overlooked, leaving us only to feasting. May God grant that he may find us grateful every day for all his gifts, spiritual and material. God is good, and every good gift comes from him. That's James 1:17. For those who know Christ, God also works everything together for good, even events we would not necessarily consider good. That's Romans 8:28-30. So, and may we all find that in that. So, what I came to is Psalm 116. And it's one of the, Psalms 116 is one of the halal songs, or hallelujah songs, which is, means praise. So the word hallelujah is praise Yahweh, is what, when we're saying that, we're saying praise Yahweh, praise God, when we're singing hallelujah. But halal, the verses 13 through 18 is the halal songs. And they were sung during all the festivals in Jerusalem for Passover and so forth. Quite possible that, that when Jesus finished the Last Supper and he and his disciples sang a hymn, and that's in Matthew and Mark 14:20, what had been singing from this group, Jesus took the Passover meal and infused it with a new meaning. The salvation that he promised was not deliverance from physical danger or human bondage, but salvation from the spiritual bondage and the grave danger of the penalty of sin. So, what can I give God, or what can believers do to express the gratitude, their gratitude to God? If we can turn to Romans 12:1, we can have Paul answer that question for us. And so, let's turn to Romans 12:1. I guess I should find my glasses. So 12:1, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, be the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern that this is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So it tells you right there, it says, I appeal to you before brothers and mercy to present your bodies as living sacrifices and accept God and be acceptable to God, which is your living. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you'll be testing, discern that this is the will of God. So when I saw the will of God, that triggered my mind. And it's funny how the Lord speaks to you, but that took me right over. So we're going to turn right now to 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to read 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, 15 through 18. So there's a handful of times in the Bible where you'll see the will of God mentioned, and this happens to be one of them. So when we're looking at that, we say, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So we look at that and it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in some circumstances. No, all circumstances. So we do that in all circumstances. We give thanks to God. So just like those songs I just read about, these guys went through tragedy and here they are still giving thanks to the Lord in all that they do. And so we want to continue that. And that, we give thanks in all circumstances. Even when things are going good for us, when things are going good for our brother and sister, when things are going good for our enemy, when things are going bad for us, when things are going bad for others, we do this and that. And we're able to do that. Let's see here. Looking for one more piece of paper here. We give it it's an amazing concept in everything. It only comes to us by the Holy Spirit and with proper understanding of God. When we have that truth, thanksgiving comes from us. And we are given thanks in no matter what. And we look at that, we see that in Revelation 19, the wedding supper of the Lamb, this is when Christ and the church come together and we're all singing praise to him. And that's when we're uninhibited, we're made perfect. And when we're made perfect, the thankfulness of God comes out of us and starts to praise. And that's what we want to try to be. We want to be here. We want to be a living sacrifice here. So tonight as we go through Psalm 116, I'm hoping that we can go through some hit on some points that we can all do to make ourselves a living sacrifice, like Paul said, that will please be pleasing to God in what we do. So let's read verses 1 and 2. So Psalms 116, verse 1. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Verse 2. Because He inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call on Him as long as I live. So the first part, the love of the Lord. So love, for as long as you live, love Jesus with all your heart. A lifelong walk with Jesus begins with a sincere love for Him, out of a profound gratitude for God's answered prayers. I love the Lord. A blessed declaration every believer ought to be able to declare without the slightest hesitation. I love the Lord. It was required under the law, but was never produced in the heart of man except by the grace of God and upon gospel principles. It is a great thing to say, I love the Lord, for the sweetest of all graces and the surest of all evidences of salvation is love. And that was from Charles Spurgeon, by the way. Serve and obey Jesus. These are all ways we can love, show our love to the Lord. So serve and obey Jesus out of love, or your service or obedience will not likely last. God expects believers to follow Him out of love, not obligation. When Moses gave the law, he advised that their obedience needed to be rooted in love for God, or it would not last. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. The Jews drifted away from following God's law because they obeyed out of obligation, not love. And the same improper motivation with us believers today will drift away from our walk. So we have to stick within our love, true love within our hearts of our Lord. And for all that He's done and all He's done for us, we have to truly be that. So love is a very important word. Loving your God is the greatest commandment. Jesus told us that. When asked to identify the greatest of the Ten Commandments, Jesus revealed that it is to love God. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And He answered them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. If you love Jesus, you will desire to obey Him out of devotion, not obligation. Conversely, your disobedience is a sign that your love for Him has grown old. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's John 14:15. Declare your love for God as a witness to others. And we have to do that as what He's done in our life. And I know my story, I've shared it up here. I know a few of your stories. And then you saw that in Dominic when he came up and spoke on Sunday, his love for the Lord when he was over there. You could see in other countries, they love the Lord, and it doesn't take all the stuff we have here to love the Lord. They're loving the Lord, and they're walking the Christian walk based on the faith and so forth and the pure love for God and what they do. So we need to keep that. David was an example also of that. David also followed God's law by declaring his love for God. The Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord rescued him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I love you, Lord, my strength. And that was Psalm 18:1. I think Arlen went over that not too long ago when we were going through Samuel. What did his love for God mean to David? It meant that his soul thirsted to be with God. When he was in the wilderness of Judea, God, you are my God. I shall be watching for you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and exhausted land where there is no water. That's Psalm 63:1. So if we love God, We will have a need for His presence the same way we need water to live. We need Him to live. And just to be soaking in His Word and in prayer and all of that every day. Part two of this is going to be faith. For as long as you live, have faith in Jesus. And this is going to be verses 3 and 4. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. So have faith that Jesus' atoning death made your salvation possible. In this last two verses, the psalmist expressed his faith and gratitude for God to save him from death and the terrors of Sheol. When a sinner is awakened from a sense of estate and fears at the most that he must soon sink under the just wrath of God, then he finds trouble and sorrow. How many times do we have to, you know, I was told one other time, you know, we can read the Bible, and I think I quoted this before, we can read the Bible numerous times, but when we're down in sin and we're down on our knees, finally, and we reach out to God, this is what he's talking about here. But let us all such call upon the Lord to deliver their souls and to find gracious and true to his promise. Neither ignorance nor guilt will hinder their salvation when we put their trust in the Lord. Let us all speak of God as we have found him, and he will ever find him otherwise just and good. He's always good and faithful to his promises. So when we turn to him and have faith in him, he's always going to be true to his word to each and every one of us in what we do. None of us are perfect in our walk, but this is stuff for being a living sacrifice. We want to aim to be that toward him, to show him our love and our faith toward him. Without a means of atonement, all would face the terror of eternal life without God. How would that be for any of us if we didn't have God in our life? We would be lost. David once expressed a similar fear of an eternal death and separation from God. And this is in Psalm 18. Again, the ropes of death encompass me, and the terrors of destruction terrify me. The ropes of Sheol surrounded me, the snares of death confronted me. And that was 18. And there's many examples in the books of Psalms about that, about these. For the wages of sin is death, and that's Romans 6:23. Those who reject Jesus offer atonement for their sins, face a life of eternal darkness where God is missing. Only faith can save us from eternal death. Although David knew that he was a sinner, he had faith that God would provide a way for his soul to be with God in heaven. For you will not abandon my soul in Sheol. You will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay. That's Psalm 16:10. Lord, you have brought my soul up from Sheol. You have kept me alive, and that I would go down to the pit. But God will redeem my soul for the power of Sheol. Job was another one Job was another excellent hero of faith. Job was a hero of faith because he believed that he had an advocate and a redeemer in heaven who would save his soul. Even now, behold, my witness is in heaven and my advocate is on high. That's Job 16:9. Here's Job going through everything he did, and he knew he had an advocate. And that's a sign of Jesus in heaven, that he had that advocate and redeemer in heaven that would save his soul. Yet, as for me, I know that my redeemer lives, and at the last, he will take his stand on earth. That's Job 19:25. Jonah also professed his faith that God would save his soul from eternal death. And he said, I call out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I called for help from the depth of Sheol, he heard my voice. I descended to the base of the mountain. The earth with its bars was around me forever, but you have brought me up my life from the pit, Lord my God. And that was Jonah 2, verses 2 and 6. So we want to know we have love, we got faith. We want to share with others how Jesus delivered us from the bondage of sin. Have faith in Jesus, and you will live with him forever. Jesus is the promised advocate and redeemer who makes eternal life possible. All that is required is faith in the Lord's Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's John 3:16. We know that one. John 6:40. For this will be the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And myself will rise him up to the last day. So, Jesus is worthy of a lifetime of faith and commitment to him. Without faith, our works are meaningless. So without the faith, anything we do is meaningless with him. That's in Hebrews. Without faith, nothing that you do for Jesus is any real value. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For one who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he proves to be the one who rewards those who seek him. It's Hebrews 11:6. So thus, your service would be the fruit of your faith. The next one, verses 5 and 7. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous our God is merciful. Verse 6. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. And that's so true, that last part. When I was brought low, he saved me. And gratitude is number part 3 I want to touch on these two verses. As long as you live, be grateful for Jesus Christ. Webster Dictionary, gratitude is an emotion of the heart. It's just not, being thankful. It is being thankful, but it's deeper than that. It's part of your heart. Gratis is part of gratitude, and that's pleasing. The love of God is the greatest of all gratitude. So for us, loving God is the greatest of all gratitude that we can do. Jesus' abundant grace and mercies have given you many reasons to give thanks to him. And we can get an amen on that. His grace and mercy for each and every one of us has been wonderful in all our world, and especially in mine. This pointed to Jesus. Gracious is the Lord, the psalmist. So the psalmist found calling on him. So he is Christ, the author and giver of grace in a time of need. So, gracious is the Lord, and the righteous of the God is merciful. It's Jesus being gracious and talking to this guy in the Psalms that wrote. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous in the light of the deliverance through answered prayer. The psalmist praised the gracious righteousness and merciful character of God before his obedient surrender to the ordeal of his suffering and crucifixion. Jesus sang these words with his disciples. Mark 14:26 and Matthew 26:30. He testified to the truth that God was gracious, righteous, and merciful before, during, and after his ordeal. And that was Dave Guzik on that verse. Give thanks to God for compassion and the love for you. God's holy attributes allowed his soul to express eternal peace. God is also loving, compassionate, merciful, long-suffering, and filled with grace to save you. The Lord is slow to anger and abundant in mercy. And that's Psalms 103:8. Thus, he's worthy of your lifetime of gratitude for all he's done in our life and all the stuff he is doing in our life. Jesus' death allowed God's grace to be poured out upon you. God's grace is available to you through faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. For all the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all the people. That's Titus 2:1. Again, he is worthy of your gratitude. I'm just stressing all these parts. So you got love, faith, and gratitude for, and this is again building up our living sacrifice toward God and what we can do to be what he wants us to be, and that what Paul was saying. Jesus' atoning death also offers peace for your soul. The psalmist professed confidence that God would allow his soul to find peace. Return to your rest, my soul, and the Lord has dealt generously with you. Jesus quoted from this verse when he offered eternal peace for those who believe. I'm going to repeat this. So, Psalm 16:7, return to your rest, my soul. The Lord has dealt generously with you. Jesus quoted from this verse when he offered eternal peace for those who believe. It's take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in my soul. Matthew 11:29. And you can respond by being a living sacrifice for gratitude and all that. So verses 8 through 11. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. And we want, as you see, the psalmist there, he's writing about praise. So we want to offer Jesus praise and worship. Jesus, praise for Jesus who rescued our soul from eternal death and offering your eternal life. The psalmist offered heartfelt praise for God for saving his soul from death and allowing him one day to walk with God in the land of the living. The apostle, we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians 4:13. Paul later quoted this in this verse here in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and we also spoke, knowing that he who raised Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it will increase thanksgiving to the Lord, to the glory of God. And just read it one more time. Knowing that he who has raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us into his presence. And that'll be a glorious day when that takes place. But with that application to himself, it shows that what we're going through, we have that hope to look forward to, that he will raise us as he did Jesus, and we have that hope to being with him one day and being with him in heaven. So no matter what we're going through, again, we continue to praise him and to lift him up in what we do. The psalmist praised God for their salvation. David and other psalmists repeatedly praised God for rescuing their souls from eternal afterlife away from his presence. You will make known to me the way of life in your presence is fulfilled with joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. That's Psalm 16:11. Have the faith to praise Jesus even when others mock you. And that's so true today that truer and truer in this secular world, we got to continue to praise him, even though the people can be harsh on us, and it's not common. We can make many quotes. We saw what happened to Charlie Kirk for preaching the word of God, and people in that organization, what happened. Apostle Paul relied upon Psalms 110:10 to praise God in the face of those who might have killed him for his beliefs. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. You also believe, therefore we speak. That was what we just read. If you are mocked or persecuted because of your faith, Jesus will reward you in heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And that's Jesus saying. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in this same way they persecuted the prophet who were before me. That's Matthew 5:11-12. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the spirit of the glory of God rests upon you. That's in 1 Peter. Therefore, Jesus deserves a lifetime of praise from each and every one of us. This is even true when you're mocked, attacked, or persecuted for him. I find myself holding back a lot of times when, you know, we're out in the city, in town, and so forth. And I've been bolder about it. My wife's real bold about it. She does a great job of Jesus out and about. But, you know, so many times we don't want to speak biblical truth or the Bible to people because we're afraid of offending them for whatever route they're doing. But we owe it to the Lord to speak truth to them, to to pray, to lift our stories up to Him and to praise Him in what we do, and to show our love, our gratitude, and our thanksgiving to God, and making ourselves an example, making ourselves a light in the community. He talks about that. We want to be that light and pillar, and we want to shine up for others to see, and we want people to know, think, what do you have that I don't? And we have the Lord Jesus in us, and that's where we want to get ourselves. Verses 12 and 14. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? Maybe not pie. Maybe. I mean, I like pie. You know, we can. So, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. So, what can we render to the Lord that isn't His? There's no material stuff that we can render to Him. He's everything He has, He doesn't need. He needs our undivided love, just as we would be in Book of Revelations, talks about chapter 4, 19. We want to be Him no matter what. Once we have the Lord in us, we're encompassed, we're protected. He only allows what He wants to happen to us, whether that's good, bad, whatever we see it as, good or bad or whatever. We want to be thankful in everything we do, and we want to continue to just lift Him up and be thankful, be faithfulness, because knowing that He has provided everything to us. And again, as we go through those verses, what did I render to the Lord? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of His people. So, out of gratitude, faithfully fulfill your vows to Jesus. Overcome with the knowledge that He had nothing to offer to repay Jesus. The psalmist promised to fulfill His vows to the Lord God. The statement again pointed to Jesus. The original cup of salvation here in this verse is probably referred to the liberation offering or drink offering that better later traditions, the cup or portion of Passover, because if Passover was taking place, the cup of our salvation. But for Christians, the cup came to refer to the salvation found in Jesus Christ, who reinterpreted this element by identifying the cup with His sacrificial death and the new covenant that came from it. Out of gratitude, seek to commune with Jesus to properly serve and obey Him. Drinking the cup of salvation, we do it here once a month. We have our supper here. We eat here. And so the Lord is our portion of our inheritance for the cup. You support my lot. And that's Psalm 16. This pointed to the blood of Jesus that you can drink to stay in communion with Him. And in the same way, He took the cup after they have eaten, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the covenant of my blood." Is the cup of blessing which was blessed, not sharing of the blood of Christ? Is the bread we not break, not sharing the body of Christ? And that's 1 Corinthians 10:16. When we're in communion with Jesus, we can best receive His instructions. So when we're in tune with Christ, through prayer, reading the Word, the Holy Spirit, we're better off to serve Him and to honor Him and show Him our gratitude in what we do and all that we do. Out of gratitude, faithfully serve and obey Jesus. Having nothing that he could offer to pay God for his salvation, the psalmist stated he would, at the minimum, faithfully keep his promise to serve and obey God. Offer God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. That's in Psalm 50. Whenever you have committed to doing anything for Jesus, be faithful in fulfilling your promise. When the Lord, we're talking about, you know, different spirits, parts of the body, and so forth, different churches, Corinthians. We want to continue to, when the Lord speaks to us, and we know it too, don't put it off. Continue to press on in what we're doing. Right now, I'm using Dominic only because he's been, you know, committed to doing the stuff the Lord puts on his heart. And right now, you know, he's been traveling. He traveled to Africa. He's going to South America. But he's doing that in the name of the Lord and speaking that. And I watched that young man do that here in our own town with people that are broken down and don't know Christ. Judy and her family did it for Mrs. Johnson, was it? Clara Johnson. And we'll pray for her when we're done, too. But they were on vacation, and I don't, some of you know it, but a lady had fallen. She was in a wheelchair. The lady had cancer and so forth. Jesus, or Judy first helped the lady, but she also wanted to help her soul and make sure that she was saved. That's the type of stuff that we need to continue to do. That's a faithful servant of Jesus when she's doing that stuff. And we all want to be that. That's, again, she's a light for Miss Johnson. And Miss Johnson never going to forget that. She wanted to make sure her soul was saved. Out of gratitude, faithfully serve and obey Jesus as a living sacrifice. Although you have nothing to offer to pay Jesus, you can respond by becoming a living sacrifice for him. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That was what we read, Romans 12:1. Out of devotion, you are also called upon to obey Jesus. Do you not know that the one to whom you present yourself as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of that same one whom you obey, either in sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness? And that was Romans 6:16. So part of the fruit is the fruit of obedience evident in each of our lives. And we have to ask ourselves, is obedience a part of our life? Are we obedient to the Lord? Are we making ourselves a sacrifice to the Lord by being in the Word of God, by praying to the Lord of God, by serving the Lord, by being that beacon of light, being a salt for the Lord Jesus, walking with him, having his heart in you every morning that you wake up, putting on, thanking him for everything that he does for us, the blessings he bestows upon us, asking him for his heart in your body so that we can go out in this world and be for him. So verses 15 and 17. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosened my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call on the name of the Lord. Again, I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on you in the name of the Lord. So gratefully sacrifice for Jesus. Out of gratitude, become a bond servant to Jesus and other sacrifices of thanksgiving. Paul, a lot of times, started as he's a bond servant of Christ. A lot of times he would use that in there. Although saved from near-death experience, the psalmist was willing to sacrifice for and even die for God. Any person who is killed for the faith is deeply precious in God's sight. It is not a matter of indifference to God when and under the circumstances each of us saints die. Rather, it is a matter of deep concern to him. In him, all the issues of life and death. That's Psalm 68:20. Lord, the martyrs and so forth are precious in his eyes when we stand firm on his word and on his truth. Out of gratitude, always be willing to sacrifice and deny yourself for Jesus. Show your love to Jesus by being willing to deny yourself and sacrifice to serve him. In this, the psalmist declared that he would thankfully remain with his master and serve as a freed slave. O Lord, I surely am your slave. That's Psalm 16. I am your servant. That's in Psalm 19:125. Paul also called himself a free slave, a bond servant to Jesus. Romans 1, Colossians, he uses it numerous times. The fruit of your faith should also include the willingness to sacrifice for Jesus when called upon to do so. Then Jesus said to disciples, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Matthew. For you have been called to this purpose because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so as to example so that you would follow in his steps. That's 1 Peter. Again, we want to follow in Christ's steps. He left us examples and so forth on our obedience and our sacrifices. Jesus may not have called you upon to sacrifice any more than the things of the flesh, but you should be willing to sacrifice more if called to do so. And we do that by staying in communication with the Lord and opening our heart and constant communication with Him. And again, being in the Word of God daily and praying daily, being in communications with Him, and all these examples. Out of love, freely make thanksgiving offerings to Jesus. We want to do thanksgiving, not the eating the feast or the turkeys or the pies, but we want to thank the Lord for all He has done in our life. And that's, you know, for all that He has blessed us with, for all that He saved us from, for all the things that He's done. We want to continue to bless Him out of love, not because of the old law where we have to do it. We want to do it because we love Him. Even when you are not called upon to do so, you can offer voluntary gifts, charities, services, tithes, gratitude to Jesus. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around you, and I will offer sacrifices in His tent and shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Again, Psalms. Through Him, then, let's continually offer up sacrifices of praise to God. That is the fruit of His lips, praising His names. Hebrews 13. Let me read that one more time. Through Him, then, let's continually offer up sacrifices of praise to God. That is the fruit of His lips, praising His names. Out of love and devotion, we will offer Jesus the best of our time, our talent, and our treasure, and continually to do that in what we do. Verses 18 and 19. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of His people, in the counts of His house of the Lord, in your midst of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read it one more time. Verse 18. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in the midst of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Here we're talking about evangelizing. We want to be evangelists for Jesus. We want to speak publicly and share your faith with the people that we come across every day. So many times, and Maggie spoke a little bit about it when she was up here, you know, we want to be in tune with the people that we run across so that we can share our experience, what has happened to us, share our testimony to these people, show them what the Lord has done in our lives and what He is doing in our lives so that they can become examples for Christ and they walk. So share your testimony and faith before others out of gratitude. This is also an exhortation to boldly proclaim your testimony and publicly praise Jesus. Be bold and be servants, but be bold, ye servants of the Lord, in surrounding forth the praises of your God. Go into the masses of people, and in the midst of them praise the Lord. Assuredly, Christ will show Himself as forward to confess you as you are, or you can be to confess Him. That's Matthew 10:24. The holy bondness is the way to the glory, that's Spurgeon. Let your praises be testimonies, be witnesses to encourage others. David was a perfect example. David and the other psalmists also proclaimed that they would praise God as a witness for others to see. I proclaim your name to my brothers in the midst of the assembly I praise. For you come to my praises to the great assembly. I shall pay my vows before those who fear Him. That's Psalms 22:22. I will also give you thanks in the great congregation. I will praise you, Almighty. I will praise you among the mighty people. Psalms 38. Even in the Old Testament, in Isaiah spoke, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore to protect ones of Israel. I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." That's Isaiah 49:6. So evangelizing was still in the roots of the Old Testament in that part. Jesus commanded the disciples to share the good news. Jesus also wants you to share your testimony. As he healed the leper, he told him, he went away to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him and everyone amazed. When Jesus wanted him to go and proclaim, tell everybody what Jesus had done for that leper when he took out the demons out of him to go out and proclaim, "We are light and we cannot be hidden, nor do the people. You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill and cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light in all the house. Your light must shine before people in which way that we see. We want it that we see in everything, in the good works, and to glorify your Father who is in heaven." Matthew. So as part of the Great Commission, as we know, we want to go out and proclaim Jesus. And this is all done through the Father, the Holy Spirit being in us. And we want to be in tune with that and leading us. We're going through that on Sundays about the spirits, the different gifts that we all have. And I can remember being and working out on the streets out in California some, and when we worked with people on the streets. I always liked taking other people. A lot of people, I'd always like to take people with me out on the street and work together because we all don't have the same gifts. And we've been talking on that, but we can go together and we can start to do stuff as a family here at the church. Megan did the dinner for the people last week, and that was amazing, you know, that we reach out. But things like that, the gift of doing that and reaching out and proclaiming the Lord, and people see that coming in. And you can see on their faces, the one that came in, how happy they are just to be able to see not only the food, but to hear the Word of God and to see what God's doing on each one of us. You know, Jerry's there talking to everybody, and it was nice. You got these guys working, and they could see us all working together, and each of us brought our different gifts and different things. So we want to continue to be that. So the seven parts that I touched on today was the love, the faith, the gratitude, praise, faithfulness, sacrifice, and evangelism. And as we go through Thanksgiving, again, we want to give thanks in all circumstances as we do. But Romans 12:1 tells us, or Paul is saying, we want to present ourselves as living sacrifices. And that means being in Him, being loved to love the Lord with all our heart and with all our understanding. We want to have the faith in the Lord. We want to lead by faith in what we do, knowing that His promises are true. The gratitude, the thankfulness that we have toward Him. We just don't want to be mouth service to Him. We want that to come from our heart and true part of our love that we have for the Lord and the gratitude that we do. And it's being in the Word talking tonight was tough because I had a couple different sermons going in my head, but once you get in the Word, like you do, just if you're going to do a sermon or you start digging in, he comes upon you. He shines on you. And I know He loves that in each and every one of us when we're doing that. He feels that. And that's the type of stuff that we want to do. He wants us to make disciples, go out and make disciples to people. And when we're doing that, we're pleasing Him. That's how we can thank Him. We can't thank Him by giving Him anything. And I always liked it when... And we're all guilty of it, probably to a certain degree. When we try to negotiate with the Lord, if the Lord does this, we'll do that. How many times have we done that? There was a guy, I have many stories about people trying to negotiate with God, but there's nothing He needs. He needs us to be sacrifices. He did the ultimate sacrifice at the cross. So there's nothing we can do to that. Jesus died for us so that we can that we can do what we have to do. So our faith is in Him and all that we do. I want to read a real short little story from Chuck Smith, founder of Calvary Chapel. This is on Psalm 116. And then I'm going to close in prayer. But he titled it the same title I had up there, What Can I Give to God? And this was What Shall I Render to the Lord for All His Benefits Toward Me? This is going to talk about his granddaughters. His wife is Kay Smith, so it's Chuck and Kay Smith. They're at Chuck and Kay Smith's house. The granddaughters are over. So, because they know Grandma loves flowers, our granddaughters would sometimes go out into our garden and pick flowers for her. They don't pick carefully. Usually they haven't left long enough stems, and more often than not, in their quest for just the right flowers, they leave a trail of trodden down plants behind them. So you can picture them out there in their garden, Chuck and Kay's garden, getting flowers for Kay, tromping down their flowers, making a mess, pulling the heads off the flowers. The garden is not theirs, it is ours. So they are going into our garden to pick the flowers to give to Kay. But you know what? We love those gifts. Kay loved them. I think God receives our gifts with the same attitude. There is not a single material thing that He needs. And because the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, 1 Corinthians 10:26, anything we give Him materially really belongs to Him anyways. Sometimes when we are going through His garden looking for flowers to pick for Him, we sort of mess up the place. Amen to that, because many times I've tried to do that. I mess it up when I start using my own head instead of in my own heart. I need His heart in me so that I can please Him. Yet He receives what I bring Him with loving graciousness. He is so gracious for everything that we've done and saved us for everything that we've done and turned to Him. So merciful to us. When you consider all that God has done for you and all that He has provided, salvation, the cleansing, the hope of heaven, it makes you want to give Him something back. What would we possibly give to God that is of any value to Him? There is only one thing He really wants, just one thing, and He wants your heart. He wants your heart to Him, and truly the living sacrifice for Him is what He wants. Let's all stand and just say a quick prayer.